5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad hunters, bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny is going to bed. So the first thing she did before she went upstairs was hit that Indica Do-Si-Pi cartridge in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to break the traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up. I'm a friend to come around, let the flies to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, but a mess is tides of tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan. Should be shaking. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High tonight, toll free. The number 844-843-6879. To get on the bench. I got to tell you, I cannot believe watching the end of this game between the Grizzlies and Spurs, how many five-foot shots DeRozan misses. Oh, my God, dude. I mean, he is just he's the Mason. He's missed so many, like, 10-footers. He just built a house in my neighborhood. I mean, honestly, like, he's the star player. He can't hit the broadside of a barn. I've seen him miss three shots in the last minute that would have brought him within three or two. I mean, and then when they were down two, he was bricking on the baseline with a five-footer. I mean, he's missing five-foot runners. Just absolutely clanking bricks one after the next. I don't care what anybody says. Watch the game. I'm sitting there watching him miss all these shots at the end. Well, what matters most? The end of the game. Am I wrong, Carver High? Like, when do you got to hit the shots? At the end of the game.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brutal here in the fourth quarter. And your other guy here on the Spurs, 25, he missed a layup down low that would have got him a cover. Just awful.
You mean the follow, the big guy?
Yes, the portal. Big guy missed a putback.
And then DeRozan, just so you know, I'm not making this up. He's 5 of 21 from the floor. I mean, 5 of 21, this guy. He's got 20, but he should have 30 because I've seen him miss five shots from within 10 feet. I mean, little easy, like, I mean, I'm dropping these shots like they're hot when I'm playing. I don't miss 5 10-footers. I'm lethal. I shoot threes. I shoot bombs and nail them, let alone some five-footer on the baseline. A little five-footer, to me, is a finger roll. And he's shooting clankers off the rim. He just missed a turnaround elbow J from 13 feet out. It was a brick. And then the guy, Pirtle, missed the follow. A wide open. All he had to do was stuff it down. The guy's 7 foot tall. He tried to do a reverse layup and missed it. I mean, honest to God, like, They deserve to lose the game with the misses that they've had. I mean, first of all, the game's over. They're up six, Memphis, with 13 seconds left. This was a two-point game, and the Spurs couldn't hit a shot. I'll tell you why they lost the game. They shot 34% from the floor. They suck. 34% from the floor. I mean, that's when you know you suck. Honestly, no one can hit a shot. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. On a Where Do You Hurt Wednesday, midweeker. So here you go. End of the game. Gay going to shoot a 30-footer. Hits it. Oh, so now they're in the cover. They're down three. 9 seconds left. But you know they're going to foul him.
Yeah, that's the
problem.
Oh,
God. Foul Moran. He missed the last two free throws he took. Foul him. He can't hit a free throw. Foul Moran. That was a huge shot by Gay from like 28 feet out. At least he can hit a shot. I mean, I got to tell you, DeRozan tonight was terrible. I don't know how many shots you can miss down the stretch before somebody just says you suck. I mean, honestly. So did the hockey game go to the intermission after the overtime?
Yes, we head to the second overtime in Boston. They're in the dressing room.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll get into all that in a minute. We'll get into the hockey in a minute. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of hockey games going on. That's a great game in overtime. Going to double overtime in Boston. And I got to tell you, I mean, we'll, obviously, like I said, we'll get into it. But I have to tell you, Washington, they hit two pipes in the third period within 3 minutes of each other. Two pipes. Rask never saw either shot. They should have lost this game, Boston. And then in the overtime, Marchand had a chance behind the goalie, got behind the goalie, and literally was on the doorstep behind the goalie on his heels, behind him. All he had to do was stuff it in, and he fanned on it. I mean, you saw it, Carver. Was that not a goal? Like, he fanned on it. He missed it altogether. Like, that was game over right there.
Stunning that he missed that. But he's had a couple of big goals, including the one that tied the game tonight in the third.
I'll give you that, but he missed the winner. He missed the winner. He had the winner on his stick, and he's fanned on it, and I think it was because he was going so fast. So Morant is going to go to the line, I believe, here, unless I'm tripping. He missed his last two. Let's hope he misses again. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Rudy Gay wasn't much better. He finished with 20. He shot 8 of 21 from the floor. His last shot, I think, for the Spurs was a brick at the buzzer, basically, with 1 second left. A three brick that went over the back of the backboard. He went 8 of 21 from the floor. He hit three threes, so that wasn't bad. DeRozan, no three attempts, but 5 of 21 from the floor. I think that's atrocious. I mean, honestly. He missed 16 shots. I saw him miss three little bunnies. I mean, absolute bunnies. 5 foot, 12 foot, 13 foot, whatever, all bricks. I was like, I guess it's the pressure of the moment. I don't know, because I always thought he was clutch, and I think he's had a really clutch career. Certainly in Toronto, he was clutch, but eventually they gave up on him. Then he went down to San Antonio, and I mean, to tell you, if you were watching that game just now, in the last, you know, let's just say 5 minutes of that game, they came all the way back. You have to understand, in the beginning of that game, they were down 19. And they were getting their ass handed to them. And then they come all the way back. You're down two. You give your star player to Rock, and he's shooting bricks from 5 feet. Little floater from 5 feet. Bro, I shot 200 of those today and hit 198 of them. I'm not even kidding. I shoot 500-600 jumpers a day. And I mean, I'm not missing little five footers rarely. I'm lethal from 5-10 feet out. Are you kidding me? I got it down to a science. I could shoot them high. honestly, drunk. I mean, anything inside those elbows, I'm lethal. And I can back it up. I'll document it. I don't miss little five-foot runners. And when I do, like, I want to jump off a roof. But this guy's missing them like nothing, no big deal. He has no look, no expression at all on his face when he's bricking. I'm sitting there like, you saw the play, Carver High, that elbow Jay missed and then Portal missed the follow. Oh, my God. Like, that's like literally easier than, like, I'm not one to say, I'm really not, that free throws are easy. Late in a game, Morant there with the heavy arms, he went 2 of 5 from the line, right? Or 2 of 6, whatever it was. And he made the last one. They won by 4. They didn't cover. 4 and a hook covered. And Memphis won the game, barely. I mean, you're up 19. You win by 4. I mean, they were up 2 with, 2 minutes left in the game. And you saw him missing those shots. Were you surprised? You saw him. I know you had it on for 2 minutes, and you saw him miss at least 2 or 3 shots from inside close.
At least. And it is surprising because he's the guy that you want to go to late in the game. That's the guy. That's why you pay him the big money to make
right,
those shots.
Guy, so
not to gotta, go 5 for 25. Those. I mean, honestly,
he was 5 of 21, but he was brick city at the end of that game. Brick city. I don't care what anybody says. You got to make those shots. He was on the baseline from 5 feet with no one on him. That's like a bunny. I mean, you know, when I play in a game with guys that miss those shots, I just come right out with it. And I'm like, you got to knock that down, bro. I mean, you got to stick that in the hole. And I'll give this. We have a guy on my team that he misses all the time layups. It doesn't matter. I'm not like mean or anything to him. But I always tell him, you got to stick it in, bro. You have got to stick that in the hole. What are you doing, man? How do you miss layups all by yourself? Stick it in. What's the problem? Don't even think about it. Just stick it in. I trained with this other guy, right? He's a really good player. And he has a hard time on a driving layup. He shoots with his hand forward. He, like, goes up to shoot the layup with his hand facing the backboard, like on a layup. And I got to tell you, I always go in with the finger roll, the scoop. I always go in with the ball in my hand and a scoop.
You're short on ears and long on mouth.
Who goes in for a layup and shoots like a free throw? I mean, I don't do that. When you're running, you know, when you're running hard at the rim and you got to finish, I bring it in easy like a lover. Little finger roll, little flick at a switch, ACDC. I mean, there's no time for, you know, I got my guy coming in with a tomahawk. I always tell him, I say, listen, because I train him all the time, and he knows I'm right. I'm like, bro, you got to scoop that in. You got to bring the ball in, come in, dribble, scoop, and you'll make 98 out of 100 of them. You start shooting.
There's a woman out there wants to find out just where she stands in the world of femininity. Jump on the horseman one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
I mean, it's also, I train in that department too. Carver High knows. I train lovers, how to be better lovers. And you gotta work at it. And you gotta be like the Four Horsemen. You gotta be able to go all night long. You gotta have a lot going on there. But when I'm training a guy and he's a great player, I've never understood how, like, a great player goes in for a layup straight ahead, like hard with the hard, like hand forward look. Who does that? I don't even, well, I mean, look at any great player when they go in. Now, guys dunk in this day and age, right? But like in, you know, really good players, like great players, they don't need to dunk to show off to anybody. When they go in with a little, you know, all alone finger roll to the rim or to the glass, isn't it just it's the same bucket? It's 2 points. There's you can tomahawk it, dunk it, chocolate thunder it. You can do whatever you want to it, 360, whatever you got to do. But the scoop layup counts the same. And it's an easy shot to shovel. Shovel it right off the kiss. Boom, game over. Meanwhile, I got this guy, DeRozan, tonight shooting bricks from 5 feet, like absolute bricks, like heavyweight, like clunk. Like, what? I mean, bro. I mean, honestly, you saw it, Carver. He was clanking shots off the rim. I was like, what is happening here? It was like the game was fixed. Like, I'm sitting there watching this guy miss five-footers. I'm like, this has got to be fixed. What? How is this guy missing these little bunnies? He's the best player on the team, one of the best players in the league, and he can't hit a five-footer? Honestly, I'm lethal from 5 feet in. I have touch. I play with guys. I'm not even kidding you. I play with guys that say to me, right to my face, I mean, brothers just as soon kill me than play with me. They don't want nothing to do with the white boy. And I'm over there just finishing at the rim. And they're like, man, that old man got touch. Because I have practiced for hundreds of thousands of hours on all of those shots. Finger rolls, little kisses off the glass, shots off the glass, spin moves, step backs, turnarounds, elbow jays, side to side, climbing the ladder from each free throw position, all the way up, all the way down, both sides. You miss a shot, you start over. I'll do it for hours at a time. You miss a free throw, you run suicides. You'll learn how to make those shots when you start running suicides. You'll believe me, you'll learn how to make that shot. It drives me nuts. Like, you know, I can understand any miss. I'm down with any miss. I get it. Basketball, you miss shots, lots of them, tons of them. But with a minute left in the game and you're a superstar making $100 million, you got to make a five-footer. I mean, honest to God. Don't even tell me I'm wrong, Carver High. Like, that guy cost him the game.
I don't disagree.
He cost him the game.
And you know what? You were mentioning before.
Edmonton scores.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
They're on the board first.
Pour it on.
Some guy.
Jesse Bulvari.
The goal. There you go. Oilers lead on the goal from for Al on the Bench. Let's go to the hooks. By the way, you can get on the show too. 844-843-6879. People are always like, does he take calls? I do take calls. I used to take millions of calls, and that was all we ever did, and we kind of changed up a little bit, and we don't take millions of calls anymore, but we do take calls. We're not uncool or anything, so if you call, we put you on. We're not D's or anything. So let's go to Kevin in Chicago. You're on a bench.
What's up, man? Just, I got to talk about this NBA MVP talk because it's getting to the point where it's just straight disrespectful in regards to Jokic. Everybody knows he's the MVP, but every single person in the media is they're reluctant to call him the MVP. It's like a they got this weird animosity towards him. He's like the outsider. He's not the loudmouth, braggadocious type. And no, Chris Paul should be the MVP. No, it's Joel Embiid. He should be the. And now it's Steph Curry.
Oh, Pasta, to the point where, and he missed. Oh God, what a save by Samsonov! Here's the deal, bro. Just not to be rude, I cut you off because I was watching this double overtime game, and Pasta had a breakaway to win it, and Samsonov stuffed him. So anyway, here's the deal. When I was watching Harden when he was playing and he was healthy, I said, you know, if you follow me, I said Harden's the MVP because that guy, what he does for everyone around him. And the just every night having 15, 20 dimes and then scoring 25, 30 points. I mean, a double-double every time he turns around. Triple-doubles left and right. I think he makes everyone on the Nets better. Everyone is a better player when he's on the floor. There's no doubt. But when he got injured, I went back to the Joker. I was never on the Joker, but I went to the Joker and said he's the MVP because of one reason. He plays every night and he deals. He absolutely deals. And the difference being Embiid missed too much time. Harden missed too much time. And I think the story in Phoenix is intriguing about CP3. I don't deny he's been brilliant for the Suns, but I mean, it's not the craziest thing I've ever seen that, you know, I'm used to him playing like that. I'm used to him going out and doing this every night. And, you know, either way, like Denver's not the number two. Phoenix is the number two. So it's not about winning, apparently. It's about stats. And to me, if it's about what they both bring to the floor every night, I think Joker will win the MVP going away. And I don't argue with anyone that is inspired by what Steph Curry did over the last month and a half. The numbers that he put up in the last month and a half, when it matters most, the push to the playoffs, the push to the play-ins, what he did every night, scoring 30-plus, and he did it every single night. He had 40-point games, 50-point games, you name it, he did it all. Every single night, what he was doing, scoring and carrying the Warriors by himself on his back, that was more impressive to me than Chris Paul. So I would go, believe it or not, because of JoJo Embiid's injury to his knee and how many games he missed, I would go Joker, Curry, 1-2, boom, that's it. Joker's going to win the MVP. And if he doesn't, it's fixed. If he doesn't, it's all BS and it's fixed. I think one of the linesmen in the Bruins double overtime game got injured. He's on the ice with his head planted on the ice. They got an injured ref, which I think he's all right. It's not he's not getting up or anything yet, but he's definitely got hurt, one of the linesmen. And but anyway, I give it to Joker, and I don't disagree with you about the national media not wanting him to win or not giving him any juice. And it's because, let's just face facts, nobody cares about Denver. That's it. No one cares about him. It's not New York. It's not L.A. It's not, I mean, don't even get me started. Like, no one even cares about Chicago. They don't. And, you know, I love Zach LaVine, and I think Vooch is a great player. But Zach LaVine's deserved of a huge bag of money, but he's not deserved of any kind of MVP talk. And so no one cares about Chicago either. It's always the same thing. It's the biggest name, the biggest numbers, the biggest market, all this other stuff. But I'd give it to Joker. There you go. Allen in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Allen in Pittsburgh now.
Hey, what's up, Scotty? How you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Special, I have a question. Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, they might have won the game last night, but do you think that goalie has an issue, Jerry, where he's playing right now?
I don't think he has an issue. I think he's just average to begin with. I mean, I just think he's very scary to support as a goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, I have very limited faith in him, and I know that's mean to say, but it is what it is. Like, Carver High knows that that's the reality of the situation. He's just not that good. it's the reality of it. There's no being mean. There's no, I mean, what do you mean the guy had a great game? That guy, that was the scariest 20 minutes of my life watching that guy hold on to that 2-1 lead. I thought he played really good last night. He got it done. I thought the Islanders, you know, you name it, they had every chance in the world in the third period to win the game or to tie it and send it to overtime and win the game like they always do. I did not think for 1 minute when Bailey scored the backhander, I did not think that the Penguins would win 2-1. I thought that game would easily be 3-2 in overtime or 4-3 in overtime again. And the Bruins just won it in overtime. Smitty gets it done. Unbelievable. And they take a 2-1 series lead, a double overtime goal, wraparound style. And they win it at the Garden in double load win. I think that's who it was, Carver I. Smith.
I'm going to find out like in about a minute or two here. We'll see if it comes across.
Well, it's the least likely guy in the world. Horrible turnover by Samsonov behind his net. He went back to stop a puck behind the net, and he left it there. He literally left the puck for Schultz. Smith stole it and wrapped around and burned him. Horrible play by Samsonov, the goalie.
He went back to stop
the puck, and he left it for Schultz. And Schultz got burned by Smith. He got burned alive.
Embarrassing by Samsonov. Absolutely embarrassing what he just did there, costing him that game. Oh,
he played a great game and then cost them the game. Cost them the game. So getting back to Jari. Here's the deal. Tell me I'm wrong, Carver. Didn't you think when Bailey scored in the middle of the do you see Ovechkin yelling at him? He's yelling at the goalie. Did you see that?
Not yet. I'm gonna look for it.
Oh my God! He just lit up that goalie. Like, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing, bro? That was the dumbest thing ever. He's right. I think Ovechkin's right. As the captain, whatever, as the star player on that team, he's got to call him out. Like, what the F are you thinking? He left that puck and he knew the guy was coming at him. And he left it there for Schultz. You got to blame both of them. Schultz had to make that play too. But Schultz, like, hesitated. And Smith beat him to the puck and wrapped around and burned him. And, first career playoff game for Samsonov, right? 40 saves and then gives it away in double overtime. Literally gave the game away. Craig Smith, the winner.
Then gets the business from Ovi afterwards.
Oh. Did you see Ovi giving him the business?
Oh, Ovi gave him the business big time.
All right, so tell me I'm wrong about Jari. Like, did you think after Bailey scored that game would end like 3-2 or 4-3?
No. Yes, I thought that there would be more scoring in the game, and especially because there was – You said it this afternoon, and you're dead right. The Islanders are trying to go high on Jari. They are trying to go up top. That seems to be where they want to go. Right. Pierre was saying, all the guys were saying it on the game last night. And Jari looks, kind of shaky when he goes up. He almost looks like he's fighting the puck a little bit at times.
Yeah, he's losing it in his glove.
Yeah. But listen, he was able to hold on to it. He held on to it. I didn't think the Islanders had that many great chances in the third, but the ones that they did get, he took care of business.
He got it done last night, but I was scared to death. But, you cannot tell me.
Now he's got to go into the collie, and now we'll see if he can handle himself in the collie.
Well, obviously, it's going to be nerve-wracking. I mean, I was talking to my son about it. I was driving him to school, and he's like, what's with this goalie? I said, he ain't Fleury and Murray. And I'll give you this. Murray's a great goalie. But he's always injured. So Jari at least shows up every night. He plays every night. So unless I'm mistaken, right? I know, they used Smith and whatever, but Jari's the guy, and he shows up every night. I mean, Murray, it was like every other week the guy had an injury. The whole time he was in Pittsburgh, he was just always injured. And that's why they traded him. They got sick and tired of having a superstar goalie that never played. I'm not wrong. So that's why they traded him. They won 2 Stanley Cups with him, but I still believe, Fleury got 3 cups. I still think Fleury's better than Murray. And I don't even think twice about it. Fleury's Hall of Fame. Murray, you'll never hear from again. All right, so you can turn on the Lakers and Warrior game going on right now. 28-22 Warriors, 30 seconds left in the first. And the only thing I've noticed in this game so far is every single whistle, the Lakers are crying to the refs. Vogel is losing his mind. Every single call, he's losing his mind. He's throwing his arms, flailing, screaming, yelling. Every single whistle against the Lakers, he has a conniption. So I don't know what's going on, but it's the usual crybaby Lakers with the working the refs. I mean, working the refs like they were hookers. Anyway, Jerry is in Vegas on a bench.
Hey, Scotty, great to hear from you, man. Thanks for putting
How's
me on.
How's it going, brother? How you been?
Hanging in there. When are they going to send you and Carver down to Vegas now, this new outfit?
Well, we went to a big fight there. Wilder Fury, when we did the show there the first time with Sports Grid, it was the first live remote they've done on TV, and we did it, and it worked great, and we did a great job. And then a month later, not even 3 weeks later, COVID hit. It was in February of last year. And then at the beginning of the year, in February, we went to Vegas to do the show, and we were at the MGM doing the show. And one thing led to another. We went back to New York and we started doing conference basketball shows from the Meadowlands, and they canceled all the tournaments, and then the NCAA tournament, then the NBA, and then it was off to the races with COVID. And then, you know, a year went by and here we are, you know, a year and 3 months later, and we're finally seeing light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines, and everything seems to be coming back to normal a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of freedom now with vaccines to not wear masks and things like this outside. Indoors in Jersey, still masks. New York's changing tomorrow. You can go anywhere you want in New York with no mask. That's crazy. I've seen it all. California still masks till June 15th. It's very weird everywhere. The rules are different everywhere. People are freaking out. They don't know who to trust, who to believe. They don't know what to believe, blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure that once this cools down a little bit, I would think, let's say in the fall or in the end of the year, let's say, you know, when they have usually a big fight in November, December type thing. They usually have them in September, December. And then May, those are the months that the biggest fights happen in. I'm sure we'll be back in Vegas doing shows. I'm sure of it. So I know for a fact they want me to go to a lot of sporting events, the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup, big sporting events, NCAA, Final Four, all that. I know Sports Grid is going to be everywhere doing shows live out there at big moments in sports. So I'm sure I'll be going on the road a lot. And now that things are getting back to normal, I think that's right around the corner doing push-ups.
Yep, June 1st, it's going to be all open up here, according to everything I've heard. Loved your take on the Angels the other day. You were talking about ESPN showing highlights of Ohtani and Trout all the time, but all they do is lose and lose and lose. So yep. The MVP race is getting hot. I know Carver has a future on the Yankees home run guy. Who would have thought that Ohtani, a pitcher, leads the American League in home runs? I think that's awesome, but they got to put some game. They got to win some games. It's getting ridiculous. Managing is horrible.
Well, they lose. They lose a lot, and they've been losing one run games and the like. So it is what it is. I know tonight, Corey Kluber of the Yankees threw a no hitter. In Texas. Isn't that where he did it, Carver High?
Yes, in Texas.
So at Globe Life, he threw a no-hitter tonight for the Yankees. That's number 6 on the season. Yeah. And it's like every night I'm doing a show, somebody's having a no-hitter. Last night it was this guy, what was his name? The Spencer Turnbull?
Turnbull.
And then tonight, Corey Kluber. And today on Coast to Coast, I said, I'm betting on Kluber tonight in Texas. I like the way he's been pitching lately. He's been doing a good job, getting better every time out. And sure enough, he threw a no-hitter tonight for the Yankees.
Well, how about this that I just read? So there's been 6 no-hitters, like you said. 2 against Cleveland, 2 against Seattle, and 2 against Texas. So all 6 no-hitters are against 3 teams. 2 against each of those 3 teams.
That's crazy. I have no idea how to even react to that. That's just insane. And then I was literally, I think I've been on the air for all of them, every one of them. But last night we weren't talking about that Spencer Turnbull no hitter at all. I was not talking about the Tigers and Seattle. I remember giving the score of the game late on the show. I said it was like, I don't remember what the final score of that game was, but I remember giving the score of that game on the air. And I did not know at the time that the guy was because the game was still going on. So I was still on the air at the end of the show at around just before midnight East. I gave the score and it was, you know, almost 9 West and the game was still going on. It was like in the fifth inning. So later in the hour that I stay up after the show, I saw that he was working on one in like the seventh inning. And tonight I saw that Kluber was through seven with a no hitter. And I thought nothing of it. I was just like, well, let's see what happens. I'm not going to get involved in that. I was too involved in hockey and NBA and that Grizzlies Spurs game. And I hit both ends of it. I hit the Grizzlies to win and the Spurs at a 4.5. All I know is I didn't watch. So I know he did it. I didn't watch. So I'm not watching baseball games over Stanley Cup playoff games and NBA playoff games because I consider the play-in games total playoff games. I don't, because they say the playoffs start Saturday. The playoffs started Tuesday night and tonight. Those are playoff games in my view, without a doubt. Carver High, do you agree with that?
I agree. I don't think anybody should be trying to downplay these games that we've been watching in the NBA last night and tonight. These are playoff games. You could call them play-in tournament. These are play-in games. They're playoff games, I mean. This is the same intensity. Say it now. Last night, the two games were blowouts. It is what it is. But these are playoff games.
The loser of this game between the Warriors and Lakers plays the Grizzlies on Friday night. And the loser of that game goes home. So don't tell me these aren't playoff games. They are playoff games.
Nice of the Warriors to wear their Oakland jerseys tonight in Los Angeles, too. Did you notice that? I've got the Oakland jerseys on.
Yeah. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, I'm just fervently against.
Absolute stupidity.
I'm fervently against their Oakland jerseys at all costs, no matter where they play. If they're playing in Chase in San Francisco and they're wearing the Oakland jersey and have the Oakland floor out in the Chase, it makes zero sense to me whatsoever. They just refuse to admit that they left Oakland. That's it. They left the East Bay and they went to the big money down on the waterfront in San Francisco. That's all she wrote. That's what they did. They left Oakland just like the Raiders did. And anyone that sits here and tries to sell me that the Raiders are in Oakland's heart and the Warriors, they screwed, both of them screwed Oakland is what they did. I mean, you can't slice it any other way. And I don't blame them. You're going to move into a $1.5 billion stadium arena in San Francisco. You're going to do it. If the Raiders, they moved into a multi-billion dollar football stadium and complex in Las Vegas, and their new headquarters is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Just the headquarters. The headquarters alone are worth probably $700 million. The stadium's worth $1.5 billion. And it's going to be worth billions in revenue. And so I would have moved from Oakland too. The place is a dump. And this Alameda County Coliseum was a dump 20 years ago, and they're still playing in it. It's embarrassing. It is absolutely embarrassing. I don't even know why the A's stay there. I mean, if I were the A's, I'd be exploring Las Vegas right now on the phone. I'd be at a casino right now eating free food and drinking, trying to cut a deal. Wouldn't you, Carver High?
Yes, I would. I'd be out of there in a heartbeat. Get me to Vegas, baby.
They've been promising a new stadium for the A's since I was in my mother's womb. I mean, honestly, I've been hearing about that for 55 years, that they're going to, you know, build a new stadium for the A's. Honestly, like, I mean, do you realize that they're playing in the same place? Am I tripping? They're playing in the same place like Raleigh Fingers pitched at. I mean, honestly, am I wrong? I'm not wrong. Reggie Jackson played there. I'm not wrong. Right? I mean, that is embarrassing. Every other team, there are teams that have had three stadiums since then. The Braves, the Rangers. How many? I mean, they've had three stadiums since then. It is true.
Should have loaned one of them to the A's. All those old stadiums, honestly, the Braves and the Rangers went through, they could have gave one to the A's.
You could own that beautiful ballpark down in Arlington, and every other week they have a no-hitter there. Wiggins just hit the bunny that DeRozan couldn't hit. Thank you. Little five-footer. A runner. Just a little runner on the baseline. You got to make that. What happened?
The Avalanche got on the board 30 seconds into the game against St. Louis. Donsky with the goal. I mean, that's just going to get ugly.
So wait, that one's on CNBC?
Yes.
So that one's on CNBC, and the Oilers game is on NBC Sports Channel. And
correct.
Then the Warriors game is on ESPN. So
correct.
There you go.
That's where you're at right
by
now.
By the way, the Jets tied up that game.
Sadly, so yes.
How is it that I have David Cone talking to Jack, whatever his name is, in the postgame show, and they aren't showing highlights of Corey Kluber throwing a no-hitter? Why am I looking at David Cone's face in his kitchen doing an interview with Jack, whatever his name is? I'm going to call him Jack, whatever his name is, forever.
Jack Kirk.
Jack, whatever his name is, Curry. You know what's funny is I see Flash every day at the gym, and he wants nothing to do with me. He says hi to me, hi and bye. He always says hi to me. He waves at me. It is such a struggle for him to say hi to me, like to wave at me, because you remember the interview? Well, you weren't there when I did the interview, right? So I did an interview with him once on Howard Stern, and he was so offended by me that he thought I was the devil. And he hung up the whole deal. He wanted nothing to do with, like, he's like all Christian and stuff. And he's on there doing this interview, and they're dropping bombs and everything else on the air. And he never again would he ever do an interview. Then one day he meets me, and he realizes I'm a good guy, a dad, I got kids, a wife, and it's all like, you know, shtick. And he couldn't understand that I was a good guy. And then now I see him every day working out. I always say hi to him, and that's it. I say, how you doing, Flash? So anyway, Perel and a Bench with Carver. I see Flash, John Flaherty, at the gym, and we get along. We're always very respectful and friendly to one another. I don't think he can understand, like, you know, what I did for a living. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he understood that I was, how do you not understand in some capacity? I'm just asking you this, Garbara. When you go on the Howard Stern channels, are you not in like some kind of mode where you realize that it might be a little edgy? I mean, do you not know what you're walking into when you accept that interview?
You'd like to think that you have some idea of what's going on. Just some.
So anyway, I offended him horribly. All I know is, I don't remember, like Mafia would be able to tell you what happened. All I know is the guy, like, obviously was very upset with it, and he never came on again ever, and he was like, blah, blah, blah. So one thing leads to another, and I meet him one day at the gym, and I just walked right up to him. I said, listen, I'm like a normal guy with, you know, a wife and kids. And I live out here by you and, you know, with all these rich, phony ass people that I live around. And I'm like, you got me all wrong, man. I just play ball and I work out and I just, you know, I lead my life. That's an act. That's a show. It's shtick. It's like I was on a dirty, offensive, uncensored radio channel. That was the greatest channel ever. It was the greatest station ever. And I said, what did you expect when you met me on there? Like that I was some born again Christian? I mean, honestly. So now he sees me and he's always friendly to me and nice to me. He knows I'm normal and everything like that. But he's still scared to death of me, like most people are. I can't win, Carver High. It's unbelievable. All the corruption.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.